It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
MunsonMON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And we've got a lot going on right now. Our voter's guide is out. And I would highly recommend that one of the to-do things is to take our voter's guide, make sure you take a look at it. Hopefully we've made the case for we the people, the way we recommend to vote on these particular, there's three statewide issues. I did include the no on the 55% increase in the retail sales tax for Lone Tree as well. I hope you can use that as a template as you're looking at the tax questions in your particular communities. Then we are also recommending school board members. We will be doing an edit on this here within probably Thursday or Friday, adding in additional school board members who have been vetted. So be sure and disseminate that out to your friends and your family. Hopefully it's a good tool. Don't have to agree with us, but you can rest assured that we have done everything that we can to try to make sure that we are accurate on this. And we do have one question that somebody's reached out, and we are trying to confirm that, but we will always make sure that we bring the truth to you on that. So I would say on a to-do thing right now, we need to fight this LEAP initiative that is it's Prop 119 on the ballot. So do everything that you can to defeat that. That is the first thing. And then we'll get busy with this next election as well. So I get to work with a great team here. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, it is the day after, the 2 days after Sunday. How's that?
You get high marks for your creativity to get around that thing. I'm going to get a calendar, a wall calendar that says Sunday, day after Sunday, or day before Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Isn't it how it's amazing how fast everything rolls around, though? I just can't believe how fast time is going. So we have a great show planned for you today. And in studio, it is Susan Kochevar Tuesday. How's that?
There you go. I like that.
Susan Kochevar, you're an entrepreneur. You are the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. Now, you said you just closed, huh?
We just closed for the season, our 45th season. Winter is the reason.
Winter is the reason.
Likely see everyone in the spring about April or May.
Yeah. Well, that'll be right around the corner as fast as everything is going.
Yes.
We're going to focus on some of the things that you have been, that's on your radar. And Steve was so funny yesterday. He said, I can't wait to get Kochevar. For some reason, he calls you Kochevar. I think that's something of much endearment. So I can't wait to get Kochevar in here. We're going to need a seatbelt. So he's pretty jazzed that you're here. I can see that right there. So, okay. And then third and fourth segment, we'll talk with Grover Norquist about this crazy $3.5 trillion spending bill. So that'll be very important as well. So a couple of things. First of all, mention the voter's guide. Be sure and check that out and download that on my website. And then I thought it would be appropriate for our quote today to go to a Grover Norquist quote. And I thought this was pretty interesting. And Grover Norquist is an American political activist and tax reduction advocate who is founder and president of Americans for Tax Reform, and an organization that opposes all tax increases. He was born in 1956. And to that point, Susan, and I made the case in the voter's guide, with all these tax increases on the ballot, first of all, these the politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties didn't work like crazy to get these businesses opened back up. So
they did not.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, oh, we might have tax revenues go down for a bit. But the way to actually increase those tax revenues is to get that pie rebuilt up and make that pie much broader. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of different businesses, a lot of different people paying taxes, and that actually increases tax revenues.
It does. Art Laffer showed that in the Laffer curve.
Right. And
worked for Reagan.
So there's very few tax increases I would ever, ever support, because what the way to increase taxes is to reduce taxes, fees, regulations, ordinance, all those things,
all
get government out of the way.
Yep.
So, okay, Steve and Susan, are you ready for this?
Go for it.
You read this already, Steve, right?
I did.
Okay.
And, you know, I got to tell you, he's born the same year I was, so I like this guy for two different reasons now.
Okay. Homeschoolers do not wish to force other parents to homeschool. Gun owners do not insist that others buy guns or that hunting be promoted as an alternative lifestyle. It is not the National Rifle Association out lobbying to have government schools read books entitled Heather Has Two Hunters to preschoolers. It is, in fact, the left that now strives to use state power to impose its morality by forcing all taxpayers to pay for abortions and public art that mocks people of faith. It is the left that forces parents to pay for government schools where they do not wish to send their children. Susan, this was written long before Merrick Garland, Attorney General, said that he was going to designate parents that are beside themselves about what their kids are being taught and showing up at school board meetings with some emotion.
Absolutely.
As domestic terrorists. And now we find out, Patty has this on here, and Steve, you mentioned this, that Merrick Garland's son-in-law has a company that I guess has both a curriculum and books that he sells to schools that promotes critical race theory, which is division, and it teaches kids that because of their color that they're good or they're victims or bad. And then also, of course, training for teachers as well. I'm not finding it right there, but we all heard that yesterday, Susan.
Yeah, he's a horrible little man. He should not be in that position at all. Thank goodness he did not get confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. But we need to get these people out of office.
Well, and that's why these elections really, really matter. And tomorrow, Susan, you should be here again. We're going to talk with Patty Kurgan, our researcher, and we're going to connect some dots, because we are finding out that there's political operatives, Republican political operatives, that are making big money here in Colorado on these initiatives that aren't so great.
That does not surprise me at all. You'll recall we had, interesting choice of words, a Republican leadership.
Operative or?
Well, Ryan Call, remember when he was?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He was a former state GOP.
State chair, yes. When I was running for office the very first time, he called and threatened me if I did not fire my campaign manager, I was not going to get any funds from the Republican Party. And now we see that he went and voted for Joe Biden, and now he has been disbarred for stealing Trump funds that were to go to the campaign. We have a lot of political operatives, and we need to start looking at this people's actions very carefully. And there's a part of the Republican Party that I will call the HOA Republicans. If you are one of those, you have to examine what you really believe in.
Now, what's an HOA Republican?
An HOA Republican is somebody who still likes to use the force of government to push things that they like. You know, their neighborhood to look a certain way, people to behave a certain way. They go to city councils and just push and support all kinds of regulation, including health department regulations. They support all this stuff. I would encourage people to look at those views very carefully. We have got to cut back this gigantic administrative bureaucracy. What we are seeing that the has been pushed through regulation on all these small businesses, close, wear masks, do this, do that, all of these silly things that did not help but hurt, all the shutdowns. This kind of stuff has gone on in businesses for years through the health department, through their ridiculous regulations that make no one else safe. I have watched this kind of silly stuff for a long time, so what happened was not a surprise to me. please, please examine your views on regulations and laws and all of this bureaucracy. We've got to cut it back.
One question, and why did Ryan Call want you to fire your campaign manager? Was there a particular reason?
Because my campaign manager was going after people in the Republican Party who were violating laws.
Okay. Oh, well, speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the fact that the city of Lone Tree, on their 55% sales tax increase, is out of compliance with their own election rules.
Imagine.
And so on Friday afternoon, I sent a notice that they were out of compliance and a demand that they remedy that by sending out, they're supposed to include, if they're using city dollars, which are tax dollars regarding an election, they're supposed to have the both for and against. And they've been pushing out for on their website and on their email newsletters, but the against is missing. And so we have demanded that they send out the against. And as of last night, I've not heard back from them.
Imagine that.
Wait a minute. You said you were going to hear. You were going to hear from them by last night.
I haven't heard back yet.
Strange.
So you might want to check out the against arguments again in our voter's guide. They are very, very important. And again, the way to increase tax revenues is that government gets out of the way and the pie gets bigger. So that's the way to make that happen.
It does. And if you live in the city of Westminster, you know that something is wrong with the way they are charging you for water. And last night there was a giant protest. The water municipality has taken in $22 million. So really watch your cities and all of the things that they do. The city of Broomfield tonight, I encourage those folks, if you live there, to go to the city council meeting. They're voting to raise their pay 60% at a time when the rest of us are struggling and our money is being eaten up just paying
for staff?
Gas. The city council is their pay.
Oh,
their
the city council. Okay.
60%.
Okay.
they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah. And so, yes, show up on this, and hopefully you won't be designated as a domestic terrorist.
Hopefully not.
By going to your, addressing your government, which I think that's one of the things that's in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. I got to make sure that I'm, I wanted to get through this. Patty found this. This is from, I'm not familiar with this, Koenig's iView. It's by Bill Wilson, and he's a senior analyst there. And it says, new government data exposes alarming deficiencies in fight against COVID. It says, a daily jot investigation of the federal government's official COVID-19 data clearly demonstrates that COVID-19 vaccine efficacy rapidly declines. Vaccination breakthroughs are causing a majority of COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations, and there are a significant number of deaths among the vaccinated aged 65 plus. Data from three government agencies clearly contradicts claims that the pandemic continues solely because of the unvaccinated. These alarming findings should signal the government, politicians, and the medical community that a new approach must be taken to fight this disease. It's a cousin of the common cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As the current paradigm has diminishing results, the media's failure to report the reality of these official statistics is irresponsible. It goes on to say the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services reports that 84.5% of all Medicare Medicaid certified long-term care facilities residents are vaccinated. CMS details 136,513 COVID-19 resident deaths out of 697,000 cases during the week ending September 19th. Doing the math, 84.5% vaccinated residents of the 136,513 resident deaths equates to 115,000 COVID deaths of vaccinated residents.
If you know who Peter McCullough is, or I encourage your listeners to Google Dr. Peter McCullough. He's a world...
Or DuckDuckGo. How's that?
Yeah, DuckDuckGo. He is... You probably won't find it on Google, actually. You're probably going to have to DuckDuckGo. He's a world-renowned doctor. Impeccable credentials. He is telling people, stop vaccinating. At very least, do your work. Do your research. but go listen to his speech. He's going all over the country. There is a growing number of doctors who are saying stop vaccinating. Interestingly, he's out of Texas, and we see the Texas governor has now mandated, has now come out, I guess you'd call it an executive order, telling people you cannot, no entity can mandate vaccines, period.
Awesome. Boy, I tell you what, these governor races are super important.
Extremely.
And here in Colorado, as we're looking at what's been happening in Colorado, we realize this next governor's race is very, very important as well. So we'll get this election done, and then we'll be talking about that. Let's go to break. Susan Kochevar is in studio. Before we do that, I on the air because of you, all of you who support us, and also these great partners. 88 Drive-In Theater is a great partner of the show. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And another great partner is the Hooters Restaurants here in the Front Range of Colorado. That is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And I thought I'd highlight lunch specials today. Monday through Friday, 11 to 2, dine in or to go. They have $8 items, which are Baja fish tacos, lunch burger, or smoked wings. $9 items are shrimp tacos, chicken tenders, chicken garden salad, buffalo chicken garden salad, or a Philly cheesesteak. And $10 items are lunch fish and chips, buffalo chicken sandwich, or a Western burger with curly fries. More information, go to my website and click on my sponsors tab. We'll be right back with Susan Kochevar.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And Susan, Steve should know this. When you're in studio, he can't get a word in edgewise. So during the break, he's like, are you done with Merrick Garland? Because I have something I want to say. And what is that, Steve?
Well, all right. Starting from the top. He inflamed everything last week with he was going to weaponize the FBI against concerned parents coming to school board meetings to voice their opinions. And he labeled them, what, domestic terrorists?
Yes, correct.
All right. So now it comes out Friday was the first time I got wind of this thing with his son-in-law. Is this another illustration of how the elites see the worker bees, the middle class? It's like, well, they're too stupid to figure this out. You know, they'll never see the connection here regarding this type of, favoritism or conflict of interest, really.
Do you not find such a difference between the way the elite on both sides of the aisle look towards the common people and the way the founders of America looked at the common people, Steve?
Excellent point. I'm glad you said both sides of the aisle because let's be real. It happens.
It does. You want to comment on that, Susan?
Yeah, these people are not elite. They just think they're elite. And the one major flaw that they fortunately have is that they have gigantic egos. And they always tell you who they are. So if you listen to them and read their words, follow the money, you can figure out who they are and what they're up to. And their intentions are bad.
Well, how about the conflict of interest thing? How can you have a person at such a high level of government who obviously has a conflict of interest in the position that he's holding? Should he not step aside? Should he not be told to cease and desist? I don't know, but it's just ridiculous.
And
by the way, the word was on Friday that his son-in-law and daughter, I guess they're kind of in this thing together. They had a multi-million-dollar contract with a big school district in Northern Virginia, and that's only one school district,
right?
For those CRT resources, let's say. So how much money was on the line?
Right. Good point. And this is a way that they also, they don't create anything, but they this is the way that they crease, you know, they grease their pockets. And I'm going to go back to LEAP. Okay, I have to just say, as I've looked at this, it is an unelected, unaccountable authority board that will select all the vendors. They're selected by the board members are selected by this governor. They select their own replacements, so they are not accountable to the voters. They're not accountable to the legislature. They're not accountable to future governors. They're not accountable to the Board of Education. But yet they have all this money at their fingertips, and they can actually, they have the power to tax. And this is one that I didn't put in the voter's guide, and I may have to change, is they can take contributions. Think about that. Who might want to contribute? So this thing, and so all it is a great cronyist scheme to make sure that they keep themselves, you know, well, in this case, that they have plenty of money. So vote no on LEAP.
Yep, and many of those people, even including Merrick Garland, should be made to step down now after what he's done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so enough.
Okay, couple of things. Wanted to talk, you mentioned Southwest Airlines during the break. Tell us what your thoughts on that, Susan.
Yeah, just getting back to the stop vaccinating, I stand with. I want to tell all of the people who work for Southwest Airlines that conducted the sick out, I stand with you. Thank you for leading. All the basketball players who are refusing the vaccine and refusing, all the people who stepped out of the medical community who are not taking the vaccine, thank you. Thank you for standing for the rest of us and doing the tough, tough job that needs to be done. I can't say enough good things about that. At a minimum, it's choice, no force.
It's amazing that the people at the top of these different corporations look like they are actually willing to lose business because of this, because of these mandates. I find that really poor leadership. Somebody's got to stand, and the fact that these pilots and these different people at Southwest are, and then of course the mainstream media is spinning it, not because people are actually taking a stand on this. It's kind of amazing.
It makes me think that Southwest Airlines maybe has been promised something.
Well, could be. That's true. What was the other thing that you wanted to talk a little bit about, Susan?
So one of the other problems that we're seeing, especially for our small businesses, they're still being crushed. The thing that is crushing us now is that you cannot find supplies. It was difficult to find soda, difficult to find candy. There's shutdowns off and on in different industries. So if businesses don't have stuff to sell, especially restaurant industries and any sort of entertainment industry, you can't make it. So we are having that problem still. We have got some things we better get mobilized on and get worked out. The other issue that I see we're having is a work attitude issue. There seems to be this attitude that, well, I can just call in sick. It's okay. They'll keep going. And what that means is that a business has to hire more staff than they need because if I don't have enough staff, I can't run. And I'm seeing it in a good deal of young people. I worry that they get this idea maybe from school. Oh, it's okay, I'm sick today, I'm just not going to go in. Right. School keeps going on. Business does not work that way. Right. If I don't have enough staff, I can't run. And that struggle is very real for any business that requires a lot of staff. Our work ethic is quickly being demolished, and we need to work on that quickly.
I was at a restaurant. I went out with a friend last week, and they were short-staffed, and we understood. And so it does require a little more patience. We've got to get through this, but we've got to get back to that American work ethic. So, Susan, we're going to button this up here because we've got, and I don't know if you met Kimberly Bell yet. You two would like each other very, very much. She's an entrepreneur just like you. She's the owner of Kunjani Coffee, also sponsor of the show. She's on the line. Have you guys met in person yet?
We have not.
Okay, well, hey, Kimberly Bell, I'm introducing you to Susan Kochevar. Mm-hmm. Susan, meet Kimberly.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
As well.
Kimberly, love Kunjani Coffee. And I know that producer Steve said he's dropped in there the other day to say hello. But it is a great place. Whenever I do a coffee meeting, I always try to make it happen there at Kunjani Coffee. If it works, you know, from a geographic standpoint, you guys are located on the northwest corner of Lincoln and Jordan Road in Parker. What's the latest happening there? I know you had that tea, didn't you, for moms and daughters and grandmas and aunts. How was that? Was that fun?
Well, we just recently had the wine and cheese flight pairing, and then we're going to have the tea party on 10/24.
Oh, okay.
Sunday, 10/24, will be the little tea party there. We'll have the sandwiches and fruit and veggie soup, desserts, and that's from 2 to 3:30. So that's what's going on this month, and we're going to try to have another Sip and Paint. So just go to the website, kunjanicoffee.com, KUNJANICoffee.com.
I love the fact that you're doing fun things during these very serious times, Kimberly, and it's so important to stay connected with friends and family and colleagues, and Kunjani Coffee is a place that makes that happen.
Yes, that's what we're seeing, and that's why we're really pushing all of this, even though we have that issue, too, with the staffing or just, such a fast-paced job that you can only do the four-hour shift, five-, six-hour shift. But we think it's very important to engage, and everybody that comes there, I mean, it's alive. When you go there, it's alive. Everybody is connected and having a great time, having conversations, and it's something that we have to do, you know, during this time to be a safe place.
Well, I've had a number of really important meetings there, and it may be that meetings at Kunjani Coffee may save Colorado. How's that? Okay, Kimberly Bell, thank you so much for your sponsorship, and that is Kunjani Coffee, KUNJANI.com, correct?
KunjaniCoffee.com, yep.
Okay. Kimberly, we'll talk to you again here very soon.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Susan, we're going to go to break. Susan Kochevar, another great partner of the show, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater and entrepreneur. Before we do that, though, I have another new sponsor, which I'm so excited about, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group, and they are specialists in the Medicare arena. And Medicare, now I said this the other day, I think it's goofy that you have to only have a certain window where you can make changes, mm-hmm. but that's what the government says about Medicare. And so Kirsch Insurance Group is there to help. And that window starts on October 15th, it goes through December 7th. And Kirsch Insurance Group has this software where they can go in and they can look at your prescriptions and a variety of different things and determine if there might be changes that are coming in the next year. And they can help you tailor your plan for you with your budget. What a novel idea.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. So check out iKirsch. That's KIRSCH.com, iKirsch.com. And Susan Kochevar is in studio. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Grover Norquist.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. In studio with me is Susan Kochevar. She's an entrepreneur, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, sponsor of the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
I know you're excited that we have Grover Norquist on the line.
I am.
Hey, yeah. Kim, did you notice the bumper music there?
Oh, the tax man.
Yeah, it goes.
Oh, that wasn't by accident, was
no.
it? No. Oh, good job. Good job. So, Grover Norquist is an American political activist and tax reduction advocate who's founder and president of Americans for Tax Reform, an organization that opposes all tax increases. Grover Norquist, welcome to the show.
Kim, glad to be with you.
I wanted to ask you about this $3.5 trillion spending bill that being kicked around in Washington right now. I'm hearing that there's all kinds of crazy stuff in there, which there's got to be at that price tag. Tell us about it.
Oh, dear. Well, it changes every day. And remember, nothing's actually completely written down. They can slip stuff in at the last moment and will. So whatever horrible things we find now, ones that have leaked out and they've made somewhat public. There's one, which is a $12,000 tax credit subsidy to newspapers with less than 750 employees, so it's a pretty big newspaper, for existing. So the federal government is going to, per worker, I'm sorry, I should
wow.
Say that for the whole company, per worker. There. So when you read your daily newspaper, do they mention, when they sing the praises of this massive spending bill, that perhaps they have a conflict of interest? I think what you're getting is two things. One, a thank you note for all of the pre-advertising from previous elections on the front page, and also prepayment of the bribe, which is, this is the money for you, stick with us, kid, because we give you money. And so they're putting newspapers on welfare. Imagine if a Republican president, Reagan, had said, let's give a tax credit for talk radio, because we've noticed that talk radio, because it reflects the American people and talks with the American people, is more right of center than public broadcasting, which is totally government funded. They want to turn all of the local newspapers into public radio by subsidizing them. And of course, subsidies can be taken away to punish those who don't go along. That one's not funny. That one's really crazy.
Grover, I just want to mention something, because you've just mentioned something close to my heart, and that is talk radio. And we are truly entrepreneurs. I buy my time for my show, and I do that so that I don't have somebody telling me what I can and cannot say. So I have these great partners that come along with me and people that support me, everyday people. But I was looking at the numbers on public radio, and it's like, wait a minute. Public radio, they get subsidized. And then I was looking at the national headquarters for public radio, NPR, I think it was. And I realized that when they got their new building several years ago, they were able to use municipal financing versus regular financing, which was regular financing at a higher rate. So they're getting totally subsidized, and then they parrot what the government wants them to say. What could go wrong with that, Grover?
Well, nothing, according to the folks that organized that. They know exactly what they're doing. This is not a mistake, comrade. This is on purpose. And you wonder sometimes why certain news outlets bend towards, not even the left, bend towards government power. And just, should the government have more power? Yes, because the government subsidizes me, and I'm a good guy, and I'm part of a collection of groups and structures that benefit from state power and high taxes. You can't criticize as a newspaper high taxes if you're getting regular payments from the government itself. They might cut those off. It would not be wise to do that. There's one in $1,500 credit, so you can buy a motorbike, an electric motorbike, that costs up to $9,000. There's $7 billion set aside. $7 billion. Basically trying to direct people's only those companies that are unionized can get that benefit. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you'll find in there is that they'll do something that sounds like, oh, that's, I'm not sure that's the government's business, but I guess it'd be a good idea to have X that they're subsidizing. And then they say, only unionized firms. They're giving some money out to people who refurbish their house to use less energy. But only for plumbers and electricians and others who are unionized. This is not a bill to build legislation to build X, Y, and Z. It's a bill to create more, take non-union plumbers and others who are independent contractors, make them employees, make them unionized, make them make them contributors to the modern Democratic Party, because labor union dues are often translated into cash directly sent to candidates into the Democratic Party. So it's a massive, it's very expensive because the, you know, only a certain percentage of the money comes back to the Democratic Party, but they're spending other people's money, yours, taxpayers, in order to subsidize labor unions, which then subsidize the Democratic Party. But if you're spending trillions, you only need a small percentage of that to come back into your pocket to make it very worthwhile.
What about this $600, following any transaction over $600? What about that?
Well, that is, again, another lunge for control over your life. They want to be able, they want to have reported to them from your bank, okay, all transactions above $600 that go in and out. They may just ask for the number to start with, but how long until they ask, well, what'd you buy for $600? Did you buy a gun? Are you buying too much sugar? Are you buying too much gasoline? I mean, we did have gasoline rationing in the United States during World War II, which, by the way, wasn't needed. We had no shortage of gasoline. What they were short of was rubber for tires. So they thought they'd get Americans to drive less by limiting their gasoline. Instead of saying, guys, if you wear your tires out, we can't get you another one during the war, so be careful. They set up this monumental control system for nothing. I mean, it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. But when you get government control, when you give them data and information, they'll decide what to do with it. Why wouldn't they look to see if you bought a gun? Or maybe two guns is too many. Maybe one gun is too many. The amount of information, this is money going in and out of your Venmo and PayPal. You know, do you buy books that you don't approve of? Do you buy naughty magazines? What is it that you buy that you could? And of course, the IRS agents, we know from the last 30 years, have a very bad habit of leaking this stuff to your political enemies. They've done this to people who have contributed to traditional marriage initiatives, and then they, people inside the IRS, hand it to folks who oppose that, who are on the other side, and then they attack the donor. So what's supposed to be your private information on your donations is courtesy of the IRS. Mm-hmm. Out that way. There have been a couple of people who got fired for that, and many of them have been rehired because the union has rules about not firing people. So in effect, even the few of the few that get caught, who then actually get let go, are brought back in. So what is the message to everybody? You can, with impunity, hand people's private IRS data. Remember, there was the big data dump with thousands and thousands of people and so on. And what happened there was nobody got punished. Oh, they say they're looking into it. They're very unhappy. They're looking into it. Any moment now. I bet you a nickel, nothing comes out of that. No one will be fired. And instead, the IRS is going to get $80 billion of your money, courtesy of Biden and the Democrats, to give them more, to hire more people, 87,000 more people. Now, they haven't figured out, they haven't been able to hire enough, as many people as they've had budgeted in the past. So where are you going to get 87,000 people who know what they're doing? I don't know, Democratic precinct workers, somebody. So they haven't been able to hire, find enough people to do, to hire enough people to do the jobs that they have open. Now we're going to have 87,000 more. And what are they going to do? Oh, according to Biden and the Democrats, they go after rich people and companies. Well, companies are all audited and they're public. rich people are audited regularly because there's money there, they think, to look for. But the IRS has made it very clear. Biden said, the IRS said, we're going to dramatically increase our auditing of small businesses. They want to go after businesses, neighborhood businesses like nail salons and barber shops and the local grocery store and the local drugstore, cash businesses where they think perhaps they could scrape up some money. This is targeting every small entrepreneur in particularly lower income areas that deal in cash, not credit cards and so on, and they're going after small businesses. That's the target. Now, if they go to a small business and say, we think you owe us $1,000. You're going to hire a lawyer for $2,000 to fight that, or you shut up and pay it. I mean, yes,
this is like a shakedown. This is going to be like a shakedown, Grover.
Yes.
It totally is.
Coming from a mile away.
It totally is a shakedown. It's been happening for a while. If you go to a nail salon, you will find that they were going after them and just sheer stealing their credit card transactions. Why? Because, you weren't reporting your tips in cash. So that's one of the things they were doing. And to your point about collecting information, when Hong Kong was controlled by England, there was that the fellow who ran it, his name was Sir Calverthwaite, when he ran Hong Kong, and he said, the government cannot collect any information because as soon as they do, they start thinking they can control things. So exactly to your point, Grover.
Yes, and very wise of him. I think they were even asking like an unemployment number or something. He said, we don't keep that.
Yep.
And then gave the answer that you pointed out. So, I guess government needs to know certain things, but when they ask for more information than is needed to do what they're doing, you can reason to, they have a second step here they haven't told you about. So this whole spending package goes on and on and on. This, you remember the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is not very much infrastructure and wasn't really terribly bipartisan, also had a great deal of money that was going to go for planting milkweed on the sides of highways to attract monarch butterflies. This is going to be federal funds, and they're going to give this out in contracts to people to plant milkweed seeds. Also, in the same package, was something to fix the fact that only 6.8% of truckers in the United States are women, and that this could only be from discrimination, not because women have more sense to make these jobs and take you away from home for weeks at a time. And they're going to fix this by having groups that come out, and they're going to give them money to advocate for more women becoming truckers. Now, there's a shortage of truckers. Every truck has a little sign on the back of it saying, you want a job, call this number. None of them say, no girls, cartoons or the boys' playhouse or something. It's perfectly open. There's no problem at all. But to make somebody feel good, they've set up this, they're going to, if this bill passes, with money that people thought was going for infrastructure to build bridges, no, to set up a little lobby to argue that more women should, what are they going to badger women who don't want to do this into becoming truckers? And by the way, when they hire these women truckers, what are they going to do? Smash all the little monarch butterflies that are flying across the highway because we've decided to put milkweed on both sides of the highway to attract monarch butterflies, which will get you more money required to plant more monarch butterfly food.
I'd really not thought about that, Grover, but that's an excellent point, that if you're going to give money to plant milkweed, don't plant it right next to the highway, right?
It's pretty to look at. The milkweed isn't pretty, but the monarch butterflies are pretty. They're nice to look at on your windshield.
Oh, my gosh.
Sounds like communist China when they were trying to grow the rice on the hillsides and the birds, the little sparrows, kept eating it, and then they had to get an army of people to go and try to kill the sparrows and other catastrophes.
Didn't know about that one, Susan Kochevar. So, hey, Grover Norquist, let's go to break. Susan Kochevar, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, entrepreneur, is in studio. Grover Norquist with Americans for Tax Reform is on the line. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tools, another great sponsor of the show. Again, Hal and Linnea Van Herke, entrepreneurs, and they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They're getting a lot of inventory in for Christmas, and I'm hearing there might be supply shortages across the Christmas holiday, so you might want to get your shopping done early. Castlegate Knife and Tools, the place for you, so whether or not you're a chef or a sportsman or a collector, great place. So that is Castlegate Knife and Tool, and that's castlegate.com, castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Susan Kochevar and Grover Norquist.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is one of our great partners. That is Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater. It's always great to have you here, and it always goes way too quickly.
It really does.
And on the line with us is Grover Norquist, and he is an American political activist, tax reduction advocate. He's the founder and president of Americans for Tax Reform. Grover, it's great to have you on the line. I had heard that there was a tax on beef and other livestock in this $3.5 trillion bill. And then I was trying to find it by searching on the internet, and there was a fact checker piece that said, oh, that's not true. Have you seen anything along that line?
Well, here's the challenge, though. There are dozens of truly bad ideas that are floating around. Taxes on methane, and then if you're going to tax methane, what about cows? And so they'll say, well, it's not in the bill. Well, which bill? You mean the Biden original bill, which isn't wholly public? Or do you mean the House bill, which has sort of been put forward, or the Senate bill, which doesn't exist? So the answer is, if it's out there and it hasn't been denounced by the president and said it's not happening, or Manchin or Sinema saying this is not happening, it is on the table. So there isn't a bill. The administration has put out a bunch of things. The House has put out a bunch of things. The Senate bill. Remember, there was an announcement that back when everybody, when the Democrats announced everything's falling apart, and to prove that it wasn't falling apart, they said, you have an agreement between the head of the House and the head of the Senate tax committees. What was the agreement? They laid out a list of tax increases that was everything you could ever imagine. And then they said, we're going to take $2 trillion of this list, which was more than $2 trillion. So they weren't actually admitting that any one tax was in there, but they weren't ruling anything out either. So the way to say this to be correct is some Democrats are pushing this proposal, or some left-wing group is, and at the end of the day, this could very easily be part of this. The president has not said no. The head of the House and Senate has not said, no, that's never going in. And unless you've seen it written in blood, it is on the list of things to consider, on the list of things that may very well happen. So they could take a look at the House bill, you know, or the president's list and say, oh, it's not there. Well, that's not the only place they're sticking these things. Matter of fact, the more awful they are, the more likely they are to come in the middle of the night,
right
at the end of the day, before you get a chance to look at it. The whole plan was to pass this weeks ago, before you looked at it, before people saw. Now some of the things that you're mentioning, Kim, that are starting to creep out, such as looking at every transaction that goes in and out of your bank account, they didn't want that to be public. They wanted that to pass, and then every member could go, oh, I didn't know that was in there. But because this now looks like it's going to be delayed 2, maybe 3 months, I think we'll be able to look at all of the ideas. And if we make enough noise and people are heard by their legislators, we may be able to get them to take certain pieces of this off the table. There's one piece that apparently is taken out by the House. Doesn't mean they couldn't stick it back in the Senate someday, but that was the eliminating the step-up in basis 100 years ago to protect family farms. They said we are no, because they were destroying family farms with the capital gains tax. Mom and dad build up a farm. They come in and say, we're going to hit the capital gains tax on everything, all the appreciation of their lifetime's work. Before you inherit the farm, you need to give us 20, 30, 40% cash on, you know, above the appreciation, much of which is inflation, right? So, and then you can, then when you sell part of the farm to have that, then you can inherit the farm. Oh, by the way, there's an inheritance tax on top of that. So the step up in basis eliminated the first of two death taxes, and that apparently was taken out of the House bill. It's in the president's package. The president's been a long-time supporter of this. This is one of the dangerous things. Moderate, you know, Biden was one of the handful of senators who thought this was a really good idea 20 years ago. And so it was in his package, taken out of the House. We presume because small businessmen and women, farmers, ranchers, this now protects small business people, you know, Back 100 years ago, small businesses, family businesses, were largely farms and ranches. Now they're farms and ranches and many other things. It appears to have been taken out. We appear to have won that. If you've been talking to your legislators about this, do not stop. They think they've shut you up by taking it out of the House bill and slick it, you know, put it back in. But piece by piece, we can disassemble this because every piece is awful.
Grover, I think it's unconscionable, whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican, senator or congressman or woman, to even vote on this without actually reading it. And I don't understand, how did we get to this point where we are passing all of these kinds of things and our representatives are not even reading it? If they don't have time to read it and decipher it, then I don't think it should be voted on.
I certainly agree with you. We actually, back in the Jimmy Carter, how about Bill Clinton day, put out a pledge where we ask all the incumbents, would you promise not to vote for health care, you know, for Hillary care, until you've read the bill? And when Bob Dole, leader of the Senate, Republicans, said, I won't vote for it until I've read it, since he was never going to read it, he just told you he was not going to vote for it. But voting for it would at least give you several days, because no one can honestly tell you they read it in an afternoon.
Right.
At which you could look at the pieces, and maybe even some of the people in the press would read the bill, or at least some of the bill, and be able to report it. So if we had that commitment from people, maybe one way to talk to a Democrat who's going to vote for whatever the Democrats pass would be to say, would you promise not to vote for it until you've read it, so that you and other people have a chance to look at it? If you're proud of this, you think it's a good idea, you know, waiting a couple of days to read it and okay it. What this also would do is, you've had the time to read it, so in the next election, you can't tell anybody, well, you know, I didn't know. So that's, you know, at this point, it's willful ignorance. Any three congressmen, any one senator could say, this bill will not be voted on until it's been written down and in front of everybody with enough time to read it, and so the American people can look at it. That would strip a lot of the really icky stuff out, because they know it wouldn't pass the laugh test.
I think that's a very good idea. Susan, a comment?
Well, I remember when Obama said that they were going to put all these bills online, and so before they were passed, so people could read them. What happened to that? That went right out the window.
It did. Actually, Gingrich first did that, called Thomas. And so that they did go up. They went up when they were put forward, not just before they were voted on, so that anybody in America could look at a piece of legislation. Before the Republicans and Gingrich put legislation online, you would pay a law firm thousands of dollars to get some intern to run up to Capitol Hill and Xerox off this bill, bring it back, look at it, and tell you what's in it. And only well-heeled people in structures would actually have access to it. It's a great deal of work to do that. The Internet had been invented by Al Gore by then, luckily. And so we put it on the Internet, and anyone in America could look at the bill and call their Congress. Did you see the fourth paragraph? There was one effort which might have closed down homeschooling. Might it? Okay, it's just a question. It was open to interpretation. You wonder what the judges we have would have met. And there were so many faxes and calls that came in to Congress that for a day it shut down the ability of anybody to reach their congressman by phone. And they took that out by unanimous consent. That was some, I don't want to say little old lady, but some person who you've ever heard of was just had the time to read the bill and sent this nut in. Congressman Dick Armey, does this say what I think it says? And Armey says, you're darn right, it says what you think it says. And certainly some liberal judge could say this is exactly what it means. And that was shut down. So having those bills up there, but this is the Democrats on these spending bills, those bills are not up to be looked at.
No.
And The other thing is at the last minute, they can be amended as well.
I know it. So, Grover, we're just about out of time, but do we have a champion? I mean, I've got a thing from a political standpoint. It would be great for some Republican to stand up and say, we're not doing this until we've had a chance to read it and really review all this. Is anybody out there being that kind of champion?
Well, here's the challenge with that. Lots of Republicans would cheerfully say that, but there are 50 Republicans in the Senate and 50 Democrats in the Senate, and it only takes 50 Democrats plus the vice president, whatever her name is and whoever she is, she's down the border somewhere, that there's 51 people can do everything. Republicans literally have zero power to stop a reconciliation. Every Republican can vote no. Every Republican will vote no, because however bad the bill is, it's going to be bad. It's not like there's no point at which Republicans, any Republican, would say, well, this is only sort of bad, so I'll vote for it. They're all voting no, and they've all said so. So the Democrats have to put together a package that's all Democrat. So the best a Republican can do is get information out to their legislative district, their state, which doesn't really help Colorado too much. But, you know, to build popular opposition to the bill where people scream back at the Democrats. And in the House now, you've got a bunch of Democrats who they're being pushed into traffic by Biden and the labor unions and the left-wing groups. And they're saying, no, it's going to be safe. There's no traffic. And they're going to push him out into traffic. And just as happened 2 years into Clinton, the Democrats lost the House and Senate. And 2 years into Obama, they lost the House and 6 Senate seats. 2 years into Biden, once again, big taxes, big spending, everything the American people didn't want. There are going to be a lot fewer Democrats in the House. And now people are saying even in the Senate, as a result of how poorly Biden has governed, but also how crazy some of this tax and spend stuff is and how damaging it is to jobs and opportunities for the United States. So it's just going to take enough Democrats who are convinced that they could get reelected someday in a Democratic district if they voted.
Okay. Hey, Grover Norquist, thank you so much for joining us. We've run out of time, but so appreciate it. Thank you.
Kim, thank you. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. And Susan Kochevar, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Great conversation. And our quote for today is from Grover Norquist. He said, spending is not caring. Spending is what politicians do instead of caring. Spending more does not guarantee success. Politicians like to measure spending because it is easier than measuring actual metrics of accomplishment. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.